Hello and welcome to the Change and Transition podcast, where we talk about navigating change. It's for people who want to transition from their current career and lifestyle to the career and lifestyle they've been dreaming about. Life's too short and the time for change is now. I'm your host and dedicated career coach, Crystal Deborah Okoli, and it's my mission to help people to make challenging transitions so that they can be the best versions of themselves. Here on this show, I use examples from my own transformation, practical coaching methods, and interviews with inspiring guests to help you to get the life you know you deserve. Let's get started. Just before we get into the episode, I wanted to ask you, are you where you want to be in your career? Well, if you know that you were made for more, then it's time to start getting clear on who you've become throughout your career and rethink where you want to go. Now, I've developed a free career clarity guide for you so that you can assess your skills, strengths, values, and mission to help you move towards the career you want. You can download your guide today at voraicoach.com. That's Vorai, V-O-R-A-I coach.com. Hello, Helen. Welcome to the podcast. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing, Crystal?
Hey, I'm doing very well, thanks. The weather's not great here in the UK, but I bet in Abu Dhabi it's amazing.
Oh yeah, yeah. This is like the perfect time of year. It's our winter, which is like 24, 25 degrees every day.
And we're just here in the cold. Nah, nah. You know, I live on a hill, so I was walking down the hill and when the wind slapped me, it was awful. I considered going back home.
Yeah. I haven't actually experienced a winter in the UK for like the past 5 years or so. So I don't even remember what that feels like.
You're living the dream. You're living the dream. So for everyone who is listening today, this is a special episode because I am speaking with my one and only sister. Helen Deborah Ampofor. And yes, this session had to happen because, you know, my sister has been through a very interesting season. Let's just put it that way. And we'll talk about it a lot more today. But it's really about successfully managing being out of work. Helen's story is not typical. But I know that this is something that a lot of you will be able to draw from, learn from, and will actually really encourage you if you find yourself in a position where, for whatever reason, you're unable to work or you've been made redundant or whatever the situation. So, Helen, I'm going to just start by letting you tell everyone who you are and what you do.
Okay, well, first of all, it's a very interesting question. Who are you? Because I'd say before I came out here, I was a teacher. And now I'm something completely different, but I'm still me. So I am an educational consultant and coordinator. I am an expat lifestyle and travel blogger, and I also have an online business where I have created a community of women with natural Afro hair out here in the UAE.
Nice. So it looks like you're doing a few different things there. So you mentioned before that you were a teacher and now you're doing something completely different. So can you just give us a quick overview of your career path?
Okay, so I started off as a teacher, but I started training to become a teacher in 2012 to 2013. Became a teacher of English in Nottingham. And then after 3 years, I moved out to Abu Dhabi in the UAE. And because of some of the rules and regulations out here, I wasn't able to work as an English teacher. So in Abu Dhabi, what they like is for you to have a degree in the same subject that you teach. And my degree was actually in psychology, and I was an English teacher. And that's very normal in the UK to do something completely different and then train in your subject and then teach that subject. But out here in Abu Dhabi, they don't, it's not typically like that. So I struggled to find a job as an English teacher in the whole of Abu Dhabi just because of those rules and regulations. So that's my career path.
Okay, so you were a teacher and now you're doing the educational coordinator type work as well as expat lifestyle and all of that. So they sound, one sounds kind of linked to teaching and one is completely different. So I'm just curious about how, I mean, I know you'll fill in the gaps a bit later on, but from what I remember, you moved to Abu Dhabi. So this was when I was coming back from my travels, I remember. And you moved with Mas, that is Helen's husband. And you were pretty much told by the agencies that that take people from the UK to other countries to teach, that you're very likely to find work. So based on that, you know, the two of you upped and left. But that wasn't the case for you from what you've just said. So how did you cope with that? You've gone from being a teacher, having a full-time job, to then discovering, hold on, no, I can't do that.
Yeah. So I think initially we were told things can change at the drop of a hat here. So I think I was always hopeful that, okay, I might not be working right now, but a bit later on, I'll probably find a job. I'll probably find a job. When they change things, I'll probably find a job. And I was actually getting quite a few job offers, which kind of kept us in this country because, you know, fine, I might not be working for this amount of time, but, you know, when I come back this academic year, I should be working in this job. And all those jobs actually fell through. So it was quite disappointing, well, very disappointing, especially because my husband is actually also an English teacher, but he did a degree in English. So he's like the perfect candidate. And because of that, and I actually was the person who, I actually went into teaching first. And so so I kind of felt as though, you know, I don't even know how to say this properly, but it's just, you know, my husband and I were both on the same kind of level. And then I came out here and it was like we were kind of pitted against each other. You know, he was able to work and I wasn't, even though we were both fully qualified. And if anything, I had a bit more experience than him, you know. So it was very difficult, to be honest, because I've worked since I was 16, which I'm sure is very common for a lot of us Londoners. You know, I've worked for a very long time. So to not be working was tough, but then to also be in a different country where, you know, I didn't know like where to go or I didn't have people to hang out with was, you know, it just made it even more difficult. And if not for people like you, Crystal, and, you know, having a great relationship with my husband and being somebody who's social, so I have to, I like look for stuff, I think it, I could have gone into a depression. And I'm sure I was just on the border at some stage, because it, you do struggle because you're, I feel like in, especially in the UK, our work is who we are. It's one and the same. Like you, I am a teacher. That's how I always used to introduce myself. And so when I was out here, I felt like I had lost my identity when I wasn't working. So it was very tough. And I think it's taken a while to get to the stage where, you know, I actually know who I am and my profession and all of the other things that I'm doing come second.
Yeah, you make a really interesting point there. I mean, you know, so many people do equate their jobs to their identity, especially, you know, when you go to parties, people say, what do you do? It's one of the first questions. So that must have been difficult for you. But I'm really curious about the continuous disappointment that you had. So you said that lots of jobs were coming, but they all fell through. So, I mean, how many were you getting? And how did you manage all of that?
Yeah. So I think interesting, you know, when you asked me what I do, I forgot that I'm actually a tutor as well. So I privately tutor English And that's actually been a stable job throughout the 4 years that I've been here. So because I'm an English teacher, I knew I could teach English. So I've been working as an English tutor. And so thank God for that, because even though I've been disappointed by other people, I've always had clients who value my, my qualifications as an English teacher. But when it comes to the other jobs, I think it's just the climate out here. It's more about who you know rather than what you know. So if you have, so when I was going for these jobs, I can't tell you what the reason is for me not being employed by them, or for them to actually, make that commitment and stick to it. But it was literally 1 year after another, there was every year there was a job. And every single one of them fell through. So they would say, oh yeah, this is the contract, we'll agree on it and everything. And then it will be like, oh, we'll be in touch. And then they would go silent. And that happened at least 3 times.
Yeah.
So, and it was literally every single year. And so I would still be here. I think, oh yeah, I'm going to be working when I go home over the summer and I come back, I'm going to start work. And then they would just go silent. And then I wouldn't hear from them again. And then I would continue with my tutoring and everything. And then the next year there's a promise of a job, and then the same thing would happen.
Wow. And the reason I ask this is because I know that people who are listening may find themselves in a position where they've been made redundant, or they're deciding to change careers, whatever the situation, and they're trying and they're trying and they're trying. And you're someone who, gosh, for years, it's not even like it's just a few, for years had this disappointment. So aside from having, yes, maths, obviously myself, what were you doing with that time? How were you able to stay positive and not actually sink into a depression?
That's a really good question. So I think I had to think about what I could do. So I wasn't able to teach for reasons that are unknown to me, but I had the qualification to do that. And so it took a bit of time, but I found clients who I was then able to teach. So maybe I couldn't be employed by a school or in a school, but I could still teach. So that was a source of income. And then I had so much time on my hands that I had to think about what I actually wanted to do and what I actually liked to do. And I also looked back and thought about what I used to do in the past that kind of made me happy, I suppose. And there were the two things that I think have always been there: writing and something to do with hair, something hair related. So for those of you who who know me, I used to have a YouTube channel where I taught people how to do their hair themselves. And that was about 8-9 years ago now. So, and I think even growing up, me and some friends on the bus on the way home from school, we used to, do the cane rows and the plaits and everything. So I've always had some sort of connection to hair. So I was like, okay, I need to do something hair related. And when I moved out here, I was bald and I didn't know anybody that could point me in the right direction of where to get my hair done. So I was like, okay, I'm going to just create a community, or I'm going to look for these places and put it all in one place on Instagram. And, so if other people are looking for places to do their hair, and they've got hair like mine, they can find it. So that was just, I kind of fell into that one because of circumstance. And then when it came to my blog, well, I've moved to another country, I'm going to have loads of different experiences, I love writing, it just made sense. But those two were lifelines really for me, because it was, it reminded me about who, that's who I am. That's who I am. Love to write. I love, you know, community, connecting people. So I just held on to the things that I knew I loved and I knew that I was good at. And then that's it. And that's kind of what business is, isn't it? People do things that they're good at and that serve the community in some way, right?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just in listening to you, I've just picked up so many lessons. I mean, one is teach what you know. So if you find yourself in a position where, you know, you can't find work for whatever reason, rather than just accept it and feel sorry for yourself and not move forward, teach what you know. Yes, but you didn't stay in it. And you taught what you know. So you knew how to teach English. You know, mm-hmm. for those who are listening, there's something that they know that they can teach or do something with. And then you also said that you pretty much reevaluated what you're about, who you are, what you offer, and you thought about it, but then you took action and you did something with it. So you have the blog, you've got the travel blog, you've got something to do with hair, you're teaching English. But then, and then in that time, now you've actually managed to find work. You've managed to get a job. So now you're probably doing loads, doing too much. So how did that come about?
Yeah.
Getting the job.
Yeah, interesting that you mention like reevaluating and thinking about the things that you are good at, because tutoring was, as I said, one of my lifelines. It was one of the things I said, you know what, I can do it and I can make money from this. And I'm not starting at entry level. The other two, entry level. But with teaching, yes, I can get paid top dollar for this because I know how to do it. Mm. And it was through tutoring that I got the job that I'm in now. So links back to what I said about, you know, is who you know rather than what you know. And it's interesting because I was tutoring a girl who was a lot younger than the age that I'm used to teaching. And at first I was like, I'm not sure if I should do this. You know, I'm not used to like the young kids. I'm a secondary school teacher, all of this stuff. And I said, you know what, Helen, just swallow your pride and just do it. Like, why not? Why not? And if I hadn't done that, I would never have gotten the job that I have now, because I'm working with her family now. So yeah, it was through following the things that I was good at, qualified at, and that I knew I could do well, I suppose, that actually led me into the job that I'm doing now.
I love that. You swallowed your pride. I know that, again, people might think, gosh, I don't do that. But look, it's led you to something great. So, hey, I'm happy for you. And again, that's another lesson that we could draw from what you're saying. So,
yeah.
So Helen, now another question's coming to mind, loads of questions.
Sorry, Crystal, can I just add to that?
Go for it. So
I was going to say, also, I think, you know, when you are, you know, somewhere that you didn't expect to be, and like I was looking at like business, reading all these books and trying to, you know, get myself knowledgeable. Okay, I've got all this time on my hand. Let me think about business and stuff. And there were so many books that are like, you know, don't sell yourself short, you know your worth and all of that. And that is absolutely true. And that's brilliant. But I think what I mean by swallow your pride is sometimes you feel as though, oh, you know what, I'm too good for this. Like I'm a teacher. I'm qualified to do this. And I'm not gonna, you know, do something that is, you know, that I feel like I'm forced to do rather than something that I want to do, you know? And if I had kept that mentality, then this wouldn't have happened. And so I think, you know, sometimes it's you know, these books will tell you these things like, you know, don't sell yourself short, don't give discounts, or don't teach something that, you know, all of these kind of things, when actually sometimes it's just about adapting, being adaptable. Mm. And the blessing can come from that, the job can come from that. So that's what I wanted to add.
It's a great addition. Oh gosh. See, and this is the thing, you're my younger sister, but look at how wise this lady is. I love it.
So, hey, I learned from you though.
Yeah, hey, I'll take it. So seeing as you are so good at giving advice, what would you say to people who find themselves suddenly out of work? What would you say to them?
Another good question. I think allow yourself to feel sad. Allow yourself to feel hard done by. But it can't be an excuse for you to stay there. Don't let it engulf you. And I think also something that I said previously, which is your work doesn't define you. It really doesn't. There's so much more to you than the job that you do. You do the job because it's something that you're good at, something that you're good at, and something that you can do because of who you are, not the other way around. And so acknowledge that and then take action. You have to do something. You could just sit there and do nothing and then you'll be even more depressed. But just do something. And it seems like a really big jump if you're going to start something new. But just do it. Don't think about it too much. Don't try and do things to make yourself seem busy but not actually do anything. But just think about what you want to do and then just do it. That's my advice.
I love that. I love that. Take notes, everybody. So Helen, we've come to the end of our chat.
Really?
I know. Already? It's honestly, it's so no. quick. It's so quick. The plan is to not drag out things because at the end of the day, people have things to do. But I want people to learn as much as possible in a short amount of time. They might be traveling somewhere, so they've got, you know, an odd half an hour, you know. So Helen, if people want to get in touch, and I'm sure people will want to see what you're up to, where can they find you?
Okay, so as I've mentioned, I've got two different things going on. So one of them is my expat lifestyle and travel blog, and that is helendeborahampleford.com for my website. But on my socials, so that's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Instagram is the one that I'm most active on, it's hdeborahampleford. And then if you're interested in my hair stuff, that is Afro Hair UAE on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram as well.
Brilliant. I will put all of those links in the paragraph that comes along with this episode, so you'll be able to find it. Well, Helen, that's everything. We're done.
Oh, wow.
I know.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks for coming onto this. And I know that a lot of people will benefit from what you've had to say.
Cool. All right. Well, hopefully I'll see you soon.
I know, because of COVID, we can't see each other. It's been torture, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Not great.
I don't even remember what you look like.
Look like you. Bye.
Bye.
I hope you enjoyed the episode. Now, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share for more inspiring content.